Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now beginning the fifth chapter of Masachet Sota, and Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet. This chapter is a somewhat unusual chapter. It includes five Mishnayot. All of them are put together at the beginning of this very short perek. But after the first Mishnah, the next four have nothing to do with Sota, and they are the tie that brings them together is something that I'll mention in the next podcast. And even though the five Mishnayot are presented together, in this podcast we're only going to study the first Mishnah, skip the rest, go to the Gemara, because the Gemara that we will cover in this podcast will be the Gemara simply and exclusively that analyzes that first Mishnah. It begins at the bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet and goes to Chavtet Amud Aleph. In the next podcast, we will study the next Mishnah back on Chav Zayin Amud Bet, Mishnah Bet, and I'll explain the tie that brings all of these Mishnayot together. And then we will study that attendant Gemara, and then we'll study the last three Mishnayot together and their attendant Gemarot at the end of the parak. Okay, Kashem Shamayim Bodkin Ota, Kachamayim Bodkin Oto. So the Mishnah makes the following observation, that just as the waters check, which means will kill her, similarly they will affect him. And the him, as we will clarify immediately in the Gemara, is not the husband, of course, but the paramour. Shenamar uva'u uva'u. As you can see on the page, there are two different times, there's really three in the Parsha, that it says uva'u, the waters will come and affect. Now, second piece is Kashem Shasurala Baal Kahasurala Boel. Just like a woman who is a sota is prohibited to her husband, let's say for a moment between the point of stira and the ceremony, or more generally, whenever the ceremony cannot be completed, she is prohibited to her husband forever. Similarly, she is prohibited to the accused paramour. Shenamar nitma'a venitma'a, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva seems to be picking on one instance of the word nitma written with a vav and saying the venitma includes not only is she nitma, distanced from her husband, but also from the accused paramour. Amr Bishua, kachay adorei Zechari ben HaKatzav. So Bishua said to his student Rabbi Akiva, that's how Zechari ben HaKatzav learned it. Rabbi Omer, so two generations later, three generations later, Rabbi comes along and says, same conclusion, different source. Shnei piyamim hamurim b'parsha nitma v'nitma achad labal v'achad laboel. That it's derived from two different instances in the parsha when it says nitma. One of them is for the Baal, one of them is for the Boel, which makes it clear that Rabbi Akiva is deriving both of them from one instance, and the extra va, vinitma, is what gives him the Boel also. Okay, as I said, we'll skip the rest of the Perek of Mishnayot, go immediately to the bottom of the page, Oto. The first clause in the Mishnah says that the Mayim Bodkim Oto, the waters check and therefore will kill him. Laman, who's that? Ilim Alabal. Baal Mayavid, why would the husband be affected? V'chiteima di'it be'avon bad kile maya, so you want to suggest that perhaps if the husband has some sin that the waters will also affect him? So keep be'avon b'didei mi bad kile maya v'didah, since when if he has a similar sin? Since when will the waters affect her at all? V'hatanya, we learned at the last pasuk of the Parsha of Sotav, v'nikah ha'ish mi'avon v'aisha te'ayit sa'at avonah, that the man is cleansed of sin and the woman bears the sin if she's guilty. And what's the limud? Bizman sha'ish menukeh mi'avon hamayim bodkim et ha'ishto. Only if the man is cleansed of sin, meaning he's not guilty of a similar sin, then the wife is checked. Ein ha'ish menukeh mi'avon, but if the husband is similarly guilty, then ein hamayim bodkim et ha'ishto. Ha'pitom, that he's accusing his wife of something that he himself is guilty of. The water, therefore, doesn't work. So, therefore, there's no reason that the water is going to check him. Ve'el ala bo'el, it refers rather to the paramour. So, lit mikediktani seif, if that's the case, then why didn't we learn the first clause, as we phrased the second clause, kashem shasur la'bal kachasur la'bo'el, mentioned bo'el by name, kasei, kashem shamayim bodkim ota, kach bodkim ata bo'el. The answer is liolam laboel. V'reisha aiditana ota tani oto. We have parallel construction. Since in the reisha it mentioned ota And that's all we're going to, there's no other word to use. V'ayim bot kimota, she's the only female in the story. So therefore, in parallel, we said oto, seifa, aida, tana, ba'al, tani, boel. Since in the second clause, it's not talking about her, but rather about the men, it says just as she is distanced from her husband, ba'al, so is distanced from the boel. And it's simply easier to say oto, ota, ba'al, boel. All right, so now the first clause, used uva'u uva'u. Now, question, ba'u lahu. The question was asked, ba'u uva'u kamar, was the Tana, who the anonymous Tana of the first piece in the Mishnah, was he picking up on one instance of the word ba'u and saying, it says ba'u, and then there's a vav in front of it, and therefore that teaches us ba'u and bo'u, that it checks her and it checks the bo'el. Oh, uva'u uva'u kamar, or did he say uva'u twice, meaning he's looking at two separate instances, and this is a Tana that does not see a vav as being inherently significant, it's just a repetition of the word. So let's see. Toshma, kashem shasur ala balkach asur ala bo'el, shnevar nitma v'nitma. Look at the rest of the Mishnah. As we pointed out, in the next clause, which Rabbi Akiva is the author of, it says nitma v'nitma. So vadayin tiba, nitma nitma kamar. What was Rabbi Akiva saying? Was he talking about two instances of nitma? Or nitma v'nitma kamar? Was he talking about one instance and the extra vav? So that's easy, as we already laid out. Toshma b'diktani seifa, Rabbi Omer, shnei pamim hamurim b'parsha nitma v'nitma v'nitma. Rabbi opposed Rabbi Akiva and said, it's rather coming from two separate instances of nitma. Chalba v'chalaboel. Chal Rabbi Akiva v'am v'kudarish. Obviously, that means that Rabbi Akiva, differing from Rabbi, understood it as coming from the vav, meaning one instance nitma, and therefore vinitma. Okay, hilkach rabbi. So therefore, that doesn't, by the way, tell us anything about ba'u vav. But now, putting all that together, hilkach rabbi akiva shita kroik tivi. Because we have to remember, it says uva'u three times. And Rabbi Akiva darshens the vav. So therefore, chavat savah didah, one of them is the command, meaning God's command that the waters will go in and work. V'chavat savah didah, and one of them is that they will go in and work on him. Go into her, but work on him. Chavat siyah didah, one is to command actually how to do it on her. V'chavat siyah didah, to know that it's going to affect him also. Chavat siyah didah, v'chavat siyah didah, and one is to inform her, and one is to inform him. So that's why uva'u effectively six times, because it's three times it mentions it with a vav. Now for Rebbe, tlata kroik tivi. Rebbe, who doesn't learn the vav, says it only says three times. Chada tzavah, chada siyav, chada yediyah. One for God's command that waters should work, one to describe how to do it, and one that she should know it's going to happen. So if that's the case, for Rebbe, kashem shamayim bodkimotah, kach bodkimotah menaleh. So how does Rebbe learn the first halacha in the Mishnah? What's his source for the idea that the waters are going to check out and affect the paramour? The answer is nafka lemiditanya. He learns it from another pasuk in our context, which is when the Kohen administers the oath, he says the waters are going to come into you, latzbot beten v'lanpil yarech, to bloat the stomach and to make the thigh fall. What does that mean? Bitnovi rechoshel boel. That's an allusion to the paramour's body. Atomer bitnovi rechoshel boel, and only bitnovi rechoshel nivelet. Maybe it just means her body. Shomer b'tzavta bitnav naflai recha. It already says the description that when the water comes in, her stomach will blow up. It says specifically hers. Bitnovi rechoshel nivelet amur. So that's already covered. So why here in the oath does it say the water is going to come in to bloat the stomach and to make the thigh fall? It refers to the paramour. So that's how Rebbe attaches everything now to the boel without the vav. V'idach. So what's Rabbi Akiva going to do with that? Hahu de modal akohin de beten bereisha v'hadayarech. Remember, Rabbi Akiva doesn't need that because he's got the vav. So what does he do with let's bot beten lampil yarech? He said that's the kohen telling the woman that the stomach comes first and then the thigh, even though the oath said the thigh is going to come first because we saw in the first parak, that's the midah kenegan midah, she began with the thigh, etc. So it said, so why does he have to tell her the order? So that people will not start, and she won't have wrong thoughts about the mime saying, oh, they didn't really work the way they're supposed to, because they happen in different order. V'irach, what does Rebbe do? Im ken lichtov ka bitna v'irecha. So then it should say bitna v'irecha, her stomach. My beten v'yarech, why does it say the stomach and the thigh, shmem nilaboa. So if that's the case, maybe it's only coming for that purpose, to tell you that the man, the paramour's body, will also be affected that way. And maybe it's not there at all to tell the woman the order. Then it could have said his stomach. My beten v'yarech, why does it say it without any suffix, any pronominal suffix? Shmamanatarti, it's there to teach two things, both the sequence, that she should know the sequence going to happen, and also to allude to the paramour's stomach. Okay, at the end of that Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, in the second part, Rabbi Akiva said, Nitma v'nitma is the source for saying she's prohibited also to the boel. And Rabbi Yeshua said that's what Zechariah ben Akatzav said. However, Rabbi said that it comes from the word nitma that appears twice. Now, Tana Rabbanan, Shalosh pamim hamurim b'parshayim nitma, nitma v'nitma lama. So we have a braita that we will see, the beginning of it is authored by Rabbi Akiva. And he points out, as you see on the page, that there are really three times it says nitma. Nitma, nitma, v'nitma, lama. Echad l'baal v'chad l'boel v'chad l'truma. One is to say she's banned from her husband. One is she's banned from the paramour. And a third is if she's a bat kohen, even if she's divorced or her husband dies, she can never get any truma. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva. Our Rabbi Shmuel, kal v'chomer, Rabbi Shmuel turned around and said, you don't need a pasuk for truma. Why? Uma grusha shemuteret l'truma, asura l'kuhuna, a grusha who is allowed to go back. If a bat kohen marries a fellow and he divorces her, she can go back to her father's house to eat truma if she had no kids with him. But asura l'kuhuna, she's not allowed to be with a kohen. Zusha asura b'truma, this one, the sota, who's banned from truma, inudin shasura l'kuhuna, certainly she's banned from kuhuna. Which, of course, is a very strange response because Rabbi Akiva wasn't talking about kuhuna. The Gemara will ask about that. So ma tamadom v'nitma v'lonitma, so Rabbi Shmuel says, I have a different take on it. Why does it say in the first instance, v'nitma or v'lonitma? It's actually in the second instance. So im nitma lama shota, if we really know that she's tamea, what's the point of drinking? Im lo nitma lama mashka, if we know that she really wasn't tamea, what's the point of putting her through the process? So what does Rabbi Shmuel say? You know why the text says nitma v'lonitma? It's therefore a whole different thing. To tell you that we're talking about a safek. Magid lacha katuv shasafek asura. That when you have a case of safek, we don't know what happened, we treat it asura, and therefore she's prohibited to her husband until we clear up the safek. And of course, if we can't clear up the safek, because for one reason or another she can't drink, then it's asur. Mikara tadam l'sheretz. And then Rabbi Shmuel pronounces what becomes a very big rule in the issue of safek tuma. It says, from sota, you can now apply it to other tumot. Well, sheretz is an example. Uma sota shalawasava shoge kemeziv onus kuratzon. In the case of sota, intent matters very much. If she was raped, it doesn't count. If it was unintentional, it doesn't count. It's only because it was intentional and consensual that there's a problem. Nonetheless, asaba safek vadai. Nonetheless, in the case of a safek, we treat it like a vadai and she's prohibited to her husband. Sheretz, shasabo, shogei, kemezid, v'onis, karatzon, then certainly in the case of sheretz, where it doesn't matter why the dead sheretz fell on your food or on your vessel or whatever it is, it's still tame. Doesn't matter if somebody had intent or not. In odin, shiasebo, safek, vadai. So therefore, if we don't know if the sheretz fell, we have reason to think that it happened, but we don't know, it's still tame. Just like sota. Umimakom shabata, and now continue to learn from sota. What do we know about sota? Ma sota reshut yachid. Sota only is generated because she was in seclusion in a private area. Afsheretz reshut yachid. Similarly, the only time that we say that the possibility of tuma is regarded as vadai is only if it happened in a secluded place, just like sota. Uma sota davar sheishbo da'at lishael. Also, sota involves someone who could be asked. They might not tell the truth, but could be asked, because sota is a person. Af sheretz davar sheishbo da'at lishael. So therefore, sheretz will only become tamei if there's a safek, if it touched food or whatever it is, in a private area, only if there is somebody there who could be asked. Even though they might say, I don't know, but they have to be someone who's asked. As opposed to, if a sheretz went into a room and there's nobody there, then we're not going to, and we'll see it right now. Mikan amru, davar sheish bo da'at lishael, if it's something that could be asked, like a person, so b'rshut ha'yachid sfeko tameh. Any tuma b'rshut ha'yachid, b'safek, it's tameh. B'rshut ha'arbim sfeko tahor. If it's in public, in a public area, and these are, by the way, not the same parameters of b'rshut ha'yachid and b'rshut ha'arbim that we use for Shabbat. Which means basically seclusion, as we saw in Nazir, it really has to be a secluded area, or in a public area. Now, v'she'en bo da'at lishael, if there isn't, the safek doesn't involve somebody who could be asked, whether it was in seclusion or in public, safek is tahor. So the only time that we say safek is tamei is b'rishut hayachid dat lishael. All learned from Sota. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm Rabbi Kiva Truma, v'hander le'ihu kahuna. And again, this is what I mentioned. I said the Gemara would ask it. Rabbi Shmuel is unclear. Rabbi Kiva said there's three pesukim, Baal, Boel, and Truma. And then Rabbi Shmuel turned around and said, you don't need a pasuk for that, because after all, the Yisr Kahuna is a Kal v'chomer. But Rabbi Kiva didn't mention that. Fatuli, Rabbi Kiva Kahuna Manale. Besides which, if Rabbi Kiva already used all three pesukim for Baal, Boel, and Truma, how does Rabbi Kiva know that there is an Yisr Kahuna if a woman was a sota, that she could never marry a Kohen, even if the husband dies? Chitema Kahuna Lo Tzricha Kra, you want to argue that you don't need a pasuk for that? Shari Asaba Safeg Zona Kizona. After all, we regard this woman as a safek zona, meaning a safek that she had an affair, and we regard her therefore as a real zona. If that's the case, then certainly she's asura lakuna. We don't need a pasuk. So truma namiloti baikra. Based on that reasoning, you don't need a pasuk to say that she can never again eat truma. Shavei asaba safek zona kazona. For the same reason, after all, zona cannot eat truma. If a woman has an illicit affair while she's married, she's a bat kohen and she has an illicit affair, or she's a single bat kohen who has bia with a non-Jew, she has a din of zona. She can never eat truma. So where does Rabbi Akiva know that there's an Yisr Kahuna? So Ella Rabbi Akiva Abba Krai Ktiva. The answer is that Rabbi Akiva, remember, uses a vav. So it says nitma'a, nitma'a, then nitma'a. That's four. Chad Baal, v'chad Boel, v'chad Kuhuna, v'chad Truma. So he does need all four. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel turned around and said, you don't need a pasuk for Kuhuna, it's a Kal v'chomer from Truma. Rabbi Shmuel, Tlata Kraiktiv, and Rabbi Shmuel, who doesn't learn the Vav, has three. Chad Baal, v'chad Boel, v'chad Truma. Ukana Achba Kal v'chomer, and Kuhuna is banned not because of the pasuk, but because of a Kal v'chomer. All right, very nice. Rabbi Shmuel, in my deed story, Chkral Truma. So, let's think about it. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say, I need a pasuk to tell me she's banned from truma, who kahuna achiba kal v'chomer, but kahuna I don't need a pasuk for because I got a kal v'chomer? Dilma kit starich le kahuna. Perhaps the pasuk I need is for kahuna, who truma sharia. Maybe she's not asura b'truma. Maybe nitma, nitma, v'nitma, baal, boel, and kahuna, and truma's mutter. So Amalacha, this is what Rabbi Shmuel would answer. Mistabra dumya de baal u boel. It makes sense that Baal and Boel, which we all agree, are the first two things to go. The third thing should be similar to them. How is Truma more similar? Ma Baal Boel Michayim. After all, the Isser to the Baal only exists while he's alive. Once he's dead, it's a non-issue. The Isser to the Boel only exists when he's alive. Otherwise, it's a non-issue. Same thing, Af Truma Nam Michayim. Truma is only an issue when somebody's alive. Lafuke kahuna d'lachamita, kahuna can only be an isser when her husband dies. Because if her husband divorces her, she's already a grusha. If her husband's still married to her, she's married to the guy. It could only exist after her husband dies. And therefore, it doesn't fit the other three. Now, for Rabbi Akiva, what would Rabbi Akiva say? Why, therefore, does kahuna fit into my list if it really doesn't fit? As we just said, doing the Baal and Boel lately, he just doesn't hold that reasoning that the list has to be that tight, that it's similar to Baal and Boel. He has four things: Baal, Boel, Truma, Kahuna, and Nes Kahuna is a little bit different. Each one is a little bit different. Vinami Itle, or even if Rabbi Akiva says, I agree that I could learn from a Kal v'chomer, Milta da'atu b'Kal v'chomer tar chatav lakra. On occasion, something, and it's really only on occasion, we will rely on this idea, that something that could be inferred from a Kal v'chomer that the pasuk will go out of its way and say anyways. Now, Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Davar Shifo Dad Lishel Ve'en Bo Dad Lishel Mihai Kra Nafka. He protests and he says that you don't learn the notion that Safek Tuma is Tomei B'Shut HaYachid only if the person inside is, that one inside is a person, so it's Dad Lishael. You don't learn that from Sota, we learn that from the Parsha of Shlomim. Meat that touches anything tamei cannot be eaten. Now what's that? Vadai tamei hu de lo yochel. Only if we know it's tamei it can't be eaten. Hasafek tamei v'safek Torah yeachel. The implication is that the Torah is saying only if we know it touched it's tamei, otherwise it's okay. They must say, if I look at the end of the pasuk, v'basar kol tahor yochel basar. And the way that we're reading it is, something that is definitively tahor can be eaten. Vaday tahor di yochal basar, ha safek tamer, safek tahor lo yochal. meaning that either the person or the meat is safek tahor, safek tamar, can't be eaten. It has to be definitively tahor. So we have now the implosion of the empty middle, which is that one half of the pasuk says only if it's tamei is it out. The other half says only if it's tahor is it in. What do you do with a safek? So Elav Shmamina Kanshish Bodat Lishal, Kan Meshein Bodat Lishal. Rav said the solution to that is if Yesh Bodat Lishael, then Safek Tameh is Tameh. If, on the other hand, Ein Bodat Lishal, then Safek Tameh is Tahor, and it can be eaten unless you know for sure it's Tameh. Good. So now we have two sources for the notion that Safek Tuma is Tameh only if Yesh Bodat Lishael. The answer is we need both of them. Why? The Imi, the Rav, if you only had that last piece, there's nothing there that tells me about seclusion or a public area. That just talks about Dat Lishael. So the other parameter of it, which is it only starts if it happened in seclusion, I need Sota for. Start with Misota. Vimisota, if I only had Sota, Havimena Adiika Dat Nogeo Magia. After all, in Sota, both of the players are humans. Both the Mitame and the Mitame, the Mitame and the Mitamate are humans. And therefore, if I used Sota, I might say you need to have dot of both the one who's touching the Tuma and the one who is the source of the Tuma. Therefore, I have Rav to tell me that you only need dot Nogea, the dot of the person who touched the Tuma, not the dot Magia, as it were. Tzricha. Therefore, I need both of them. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we will go back to Chav Zayin Amud Bet, take a look at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah Bet. I'll explain again the whole sequence of the Mishnayot and the common thread, and then we will take a look at Rabbi Akiva and later Rabbi Yossi's Drashot about Tuma, about the various gradations of Tuma, which will take us to the end of that piece on Daf Lamed Amud Bet. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.